What next? This is the way, walk in it. Is this what God is saying to us when he says, come and see? I know now why in my young days, when I was running the youth club here in church, when my good friend from Fronty Utrus, who used to come along from time to time, Jim Punton, spent many a conversation trying to encourage me to go to London Bible College. I kept finding all the excuses to say, I'm not talented enough, or I'm too busy. And I kept on finding all the excuses, and I don't think he ever gave up on me, but he realized that I was always going to come for the excuse. It's hard work putting a service together and standing in while our ministers away. But as I've been discovering this week, when you allow God to write the script and listen to his voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, it becomes possible and enjoyable. And it's been a trying time for me in order to get the service together. But that's what happens when you're church secretary and pulpit secretary. If you don't get a speaker, then the service must go on, so you have to do it. So do bear with me this morning as I try and share some of the words that God has put in my heart for us this morning. In our reading, John's disciples had no hesitation in responding to Jesus' invitation to come and see. After spending time with Jesus and listening to him, they must have been so excited. And we are told that the first thing Andrew did was to go and tell his brother all about his experience. Like many, I was watching the funeral service of Archbishop Desmond Tutu yesterday and started to thinking of how he would have responded to our two scripture readings. Well, I'm sure all who knew or met him or watched his funeral service will know exactly how he responded. I was sure that our church member and former minister, Reverend Barry Clark, had met him, and after a telephone conversation yesterday, Barry was pleased to confirm to me that he had indeed met the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu at the book signing ceremony. And if anyone, some 25 years ago, and my memory is very bad, but how I remember that, even surprised Barry. So if you want to know more about Desmond Tutu, when you get a chance, speak to Barry. Desmond Tutu's life was lived out the way the Lord had planned for him. Desmond Tutu's life was lived out the way the Lord was planned for him. It wasn't the easy life. It put itself in the front line. And in the survey, he talked about all the confrontation he had. A very brave man was he. But he wasn't alone because God was with him. God was with him. When he was stood up against the apartheid, God was with him. And it's a wonderful story of a man living the life of Christ as Christ would have him do. What is our individual response to what we've heard and seen? Who are we sharing our experience with? Families? Friends? Strangers? Is God calling you to be part of the leadership team here in Arbourne? We have heard from Anthony and May recently about how they are sharing their experience. They talked about giving out in the bullring leaflets to complete strangers and the response they've had from that. I was deeply encouraged as well. I was in church before Christmas and I saw a number of them gathered outside, ready to go and drop leaflets to our neighbours across the road. What is God calling us to do? What is God saying to you this morning? It's a difficult one, but don't do as I did those years, many, many years ago, when I kept coming up with all the excuses. I'm not talented enough. I'm too busy. You can't really mean that, me, Mike Taylor, go to London Bible College. No, but you know, looking back, God had other plans for me. God had mapped out my life. And it's amazing what happens when you say yes to the Lord. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I've shared this story with many of you before. Back in my young days, as a young man sitting on what used to be a letter settee there, and the Reverend Stan Bushell would be preaching from the pulpit up front, and I used to read the Bugs magazine, and I was out of work that week, and opened the Bugs magazine up. I should have been listening to what Stan was preaching, and an advert jumped out at me, volunteers needing at Boku Hospital in Ghana. And God took hold of me and said, son, you're going to go to Ghana. A young man of barely 20, first time ever leaving home, ended up on a train going to Ghana to work at a hospital. Amazing what will happen when you open your life up and get excited about what God is saying to you, what God is calling you to do. He will take you and he will show you the way to go. Moving on a bit, I remember further. Reverend John Evans, a minister then. And we had Reverend Sonia Jackson in fellowship with us. He used to be at VMS. We had a young lady in Albania. Do you remember? Rosemary, remember? And I was mission secretary then. And I always wanted to know what the life of a missionary was like. And God said, son, I'm going to send you to Albania. I'm going to open your eyes. And the number of us from church, under the leadership of Sonny Jackson, was able to go to Albania to see Susan Caddy. I got the name right there. And what experience that was. We travelled the way the missionaries would have travelled, not first class. Met a young lady who dedicated her life to serving God overseas. We saw all the difficulties that she was encountering. And God really opened my eyes and others' eyes to that. I was fortunate while over there, we met Matt Wilson, Reverend Matt Wilson, who's at the church centre, who's also our minister's mentor. I met Matt there, and again, it's amazing who God brings into your life when you allow him, when you say, here I am, Lord, send me, send me. Or maybe, like me, you're still saying, I'm too busy. I'm not talented enough. You really can't mean that, God. You can't really mean that. You're calling me to be a church deacon. Nah, not me. It wasn't long before I came out the waters of baptism, way back in 1977, when this church superintendent said to me afterwards, Mike, have you thought about being a Sunday school teacher? No. The following week, I was being welcomed as a Sunday school teacher. But you know, we all need someone to guide us. I wouldn't be standing here now if it wasn't for Mark Taylor, one church member then, when I used to drop my dad off outside because he didn't drive, and then drive away week by week. Mark Taylor came out to me and invited me to the church. I said, no, that church's not for me. I was going to the pub then. You know, in them days, you know, I was young and full of life. But Mark never gave up on me. He kept encouraging me, come, coming down. He saw that I wasn't going to come into church. So he said, come, come to the youth club. I came to the youth club. God turned my life around because I was part of the church youth club team for 40 odd years. I got involved with Birmingham City Youth Club, and I was set alive with eagerness to help young people come to know the Lord. And that's when I met Jim Punton, who saw something else in me, but unfortunately I said no. But thankfully, I did, and I'm here. My family always said, I would have made a good minister. I said, nah, not me. But you never know what you can do until you open yourself up fully to the Lord. Me standing here preaching, talking about the scripture. I wouldn't say preaching because maybe you might think different. But God takes us in our weakness. We talked about Andrew, you know, the disciples. They was weak before the new Christ. The new life, God gave him a new name. Jesus gave him a new name. And it was in this new person that he became strong. We all know the stories. When God takes hold of our lives and we accept and move forward the Lord, directing our path, you never know what will happen. You never know what will happen. And individually, my challenge this morning to you all, both in church and online, is just to take time to listen to that still small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? What is God saying to a minister? There's only one person who can answer that. Only one person can answer what God is saying to you. As a fellowship, we're always going to be here for one another, encouraging one another. And we do that through our prayer meetings. There's a prayer meeting this Wednesday. We do that through our home groups. And home groups are meeting. And if you're not in the home group, can I encourage you to seek and get involved? Because it's a time where we come together and we have our discussions, and we talk, and we share, and we encourage, and we build each other up. We build each other up. And maybe that's what God is saying to you. Get involved. As I mentioned earlier, if you look at the leadership photograph there, there's still a few faces there who have moved on. And Brother Seal, he's took up ministry now, doing an online ministry for the Iranian church. Barbara Ann is moved, and she was here for celebrating Donald 80th birthday recently. Still keeping in touch. Others have moved on. Claire has moved on to take up ministry in our local church. That has left a number of vacancies. Is God saying to you, walk this way? Walk this way. Something to think and pray about. But what is God saying to us as a church for 2022? Last day, on the 3rd of January, Peter, our minister, stood there and he made mention about our 2020 vision. The fact that we've moved into 2021 and the vision didn't stop there. We were still doing the things that were said. I can remember when our past minister, David Byrd, came to us. The church wall was there with three long windows. David had a vision to move us out eventually into the community, but in order to get out in the community, we had to get out there. So we encouraged the church to look at the church programs of refurbishment, and we opened ourselves up to the community. We've got nothing to hide. We've got everything to celebrate. We've got lots to share. We've just heard the Christmas story. Who have we been out and shared that with? what is God saying to us? As a church, we talked last day, towards the end of last day, about taking up a prayer partnership with the Avon Community Centre in Welshouse Farm, where Pete's friend and minister involved in the community project there. And it's something that we'll be bringing to church as we look forward to how we can really get involved in that project. Many of you will know Welshouse Farm. Welshouse Farm has a lot of problems. A lot of drugs, like everywhere else, I suppose. But, you know, we're going to get involved with that project. Not going in there telling them what to do, but prayerfully seeing what God is saying to us. My vision, as I shared previously, was looking at, I remember the days when I used to know more or less everyone in those houses. I don't know anyone there. They're right on our doorsteps. Is God saying to us this Easter, let's take an Easter cake across to our neighbours with a leaflet to saying, this is what who we are, this is what we do. You know, one of the hardest things is sharing the love of Christ with our family. Well, for me it is, because I'm four brothers I've got, all brought up in the same way in the Lord. We all went to Cannon Street Baptist Church. Why is it I'm the only one that is still in fellowship, in church? Did I miss the opportunity to encourage my brothers to get back into church when we moved from Winston Green to Quinton, when I started coming to church with my dad? Maybe I did. It's never too late. And now, every time I get the opportunity to speak to my brothers, the majority of time, it's about our Lord Jesus Christ, not about West Brom and Aston Villa, because they're all Aston Villa supporters. I hardly talk about football with them now. I talk about the love of Christ, how Christ has changed my life. Is God saying to you, share my story with my family, with your families, your friends, your neighbours? I talk to all my neighbours now, not about having parties and things like that. I talk to them now about what I do in church and how the Lord has blessed me. My daughter, Josephina, always says, Dad, accept the blessing that the Lord gives you so that you can pass it on. Not keep it to yourself, pass it on. Is that the Lord? What the Lord is saying to us? Pass it on. There's lots of things that the Lord wants us to do. I'm sure of that. We've got our other churches locally. We're looking to get involved again with the community of churches in Arbourne. We're going to need someone to represent us. Is that something the Lord is saying to you? There's so many different things. And as a church, we need to come together. And the way we discern God's will for the church is in our church meeting. That's where we make our decision, when we discern what God is saying to us as a church. So I would encourage you, member or not, to try and come to our church meeting throughout the year, where we will be looking at what God is truly saying to us as a fellowship of believers. We've got a fantastic story to tell of our Saviour died for us. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We're not a private club. We come on a Sunday to gather with our brothers and sisters to hear the word of God preached, to build us up so that we can go from this place, this building, into the community. Not to keep all the good news wrapped up inside us, what we've heard, but so that the Lord can show us the way to go, so that we can go out there and share the story. The greatest story on earth. I was reading and discovering the Bible is still the most read book, the most brought book in the world. And yet, we look around us. Our churches, I was going to say our churches are empty, but we're not. we're growing. Alban Baptist Church is a growing church, not because of anything special that we've done, because God has brought so many people to us. We've got a fantastic young minister. We've got a fantastic young minister who's eager to encourage us. And personally, I don't know how I'd have got through the last 12 months without him. Fortunately, as church secretary, I get a chance to spend a lot of time with Peter. And I'm self-employed electrician. And one of the things my daughter said, you know, is she looks at my schedule and she allows me Wednesday morning, or so a few hours on a Wednesday, to be in church and just to sit down and pray. Sit down and pray and talk with Pete. And I don't know how I would have got through the last 12 months without that time. But it doesn't have to be the minister that we sit down and talk with to share our concerns with. We've got brothers and sisters in our own groups, in our prayer triplets. We've all going through, as I said earlier, difficult times. We're all hurting. My own brother, still not well. I haven't seen him. Don't carry the burden alone. The good thing about being in fellowship with our brothers and sisters is that we can share that. Whether just by a phone call or text message, I'm part of a number of WhatsApp group, a large number of WhatsApp group, our church leadership WhatsApp group, our War Lane Warriors WhatsApp group, Lone Working WhatsApp group. We're there to be there for one another, praying and encouraging, acknowledging when someone's in church on their own, keeping an eye on them to make sure they're safe, making sure that if we don't hear from them, we know when they've left the building. So, you know, we keep an eye on each other. That's what God's saying to us. Build this church up, but don't keep it to ourselves. Let us get out into the community. Let us come together in our church meeting and discern what God is saying. We've got the greatest story to tell, to share. Let us do that. And I've lost my script. So the message really for this morning is listen. I say the still small voice. The voice that spoke to me through magazine, the voice that spoke to me through Reverend Susan Jackson, that led me to change direction, to do different things, getting out of my safety zone of being in church with all my brothers and sisters. But even then, when I was away, you know what? I knew exactly that while I was away, when I was feeling down, when things wasn't going right, when I'd fed out one of my co-workers in Ghana, I knew that someone in church would be praying for me. I had regular support letters coming through. My other workers couldn't believe it. I was getting so many letters from church members and family encouraging me. Not least the late Keith West. While I was over there, he wrote to me saying, Mike, we're coming. I was due to come back, and he wrote to me a few months earlier, we're coming back up to our election of deacons. Can I allow him to put my name forward? I'm in Ghana, and there's my brother. Encouraged me to come back to be a deacon. Amazing man our Keith was. What is God saying to you and me? What is God calling us to do? As I said, the church meeting is where we discern what we as a church is going to do in 2022. And the leadership team are looking at these things, and we want to share it with you. Pete shares a lot of it through the survey, but the decision-making of what Auburn Baptist Church does is done in the church meeting. And again, I would encourage you all, member or just attendees, come along to our church meeting. Let us together in 2022 discern what God is saying to us. Let us get out, as David Byrd said, from out of our safe zone in this building, He took the wall down, opened it up, so that the community could see what we are, and we could see it in the community. We're open to the world. But that's not enough. We want to, in 2022, get out into our community and, proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior. Proclaim the gospel of risen Savior. Where will that journey take us? That, brothers and sisters, is down to us. As we continue to listen to the word of God being preached Sunday by Sunday by our ministers and others, as we continue throughout 2022 to come together in worship and in fellowship, in prayer, let us discern what God is saying to us. Let us continue to encourage and build up one another as we move forward in 2022. Amen.